Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hop-Ons Podcast, a podcast featuring me, Colin, and that guy.
It's me, John, back again, back in the saddle again. A lot's happened,
John,
since our last show.
Did you have a brat summer?
Speaking of, I made a list of things that have happened since we've last communicated, and okay. I'd like to read them here.
Please.
Because that was one of them. The brat summer thing.
John had a brat summer. Okay, very
good.
Yeah,
on the bingo card. The first thing I have is the Hawk Tua girl got a podcast.
Yeah, I know. More competition, right? Yeah.
That was wild. The word demure sort of went off the hook.
Yeah.
People love this fucking thing. I've never used it. I just know it was, a TikTok trend.
I can't use it now. I think some of the lit I teach, the word demure will appear from time to time, but now I just skip it.
You have to skip it, yeah.
I have to
skip it. Also, there's a TikTok challenge right now where people are eating raw cake dough, and they're getting, like, awful stomach things. I don't know.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Chapel Roan, have you heard of this lady?
Have you heard of this?
She's
Chapel
blowing
Roan?
Up.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah,
all
yeah.
over the place.
Yeah.
Chapel Roan, Brat yeah. Summer. I still, for the life of me, I listened to the songs a little bit. They're fine.
I kind of like them. Yeah. No. The Chapel Roan thing. There are straight white ladies all over the place. You know.
Yeah.
Bumping to those beats. And like 25 years ago, I think they would have probably called us gay. So.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
true.
That's great. That's great.
Oh, this is one of my favorites. Trump did a speech in front of a bunch of cereal boxes.
Oh, I wanted to ask, just to confirm, your cats yeah. and dogs, all very safe, am I correct?
Yeah, no one's eaten yeah. either of my dogs or my cat, yeah, which is great. But yeah, we didn't, and that was like the one time when I saw that, I thought, I would love to have the podcast going right now. To be able to just discuss Trump doing the speech in front of a lot of breakfast items, because it was just phenomenal.
So he did that, and then RFK Jr. did something similar in front of a box of like crackers and shit.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Kind of. Well, making the same argument he always makes about certain kinds of food, even though he has no problems putting a bear carcass in Central Park. Completely yeah. fine for the human body to be exposed to all of that. Anyway, John, we're not really a politics podcast. Here we are again. We've had the mics on for 2 minutes, and we're so woke. Can you believe
we've already gone super woke? My favorite thing about RFK is that he'll randomly just come out and say, "No, my body is not made of slime." And you have to really have to go, well, it's going to come out that he's definitely somehow made of slime. And he just does that all the time. Anyway.
It's fantastic. Any and all of his denials are said with so much confidence that it's abundantly clear that he did the thing that he's denying.
They sure happened.
Yeah.
The AI Taylor Swift scandal. That was great.
I don't know about
you
that.
This?
No, no. Did you? We're just
Trump put out on
everything
Truth
in the
Social
summer. Okay, yeah.
That Taylor Swift was endorsing him because someone made an AI image of Taylor Swift having like a MAGA hat on or something.
I didn't know that.
And Trump tweeted that. And then immediately after that was like, he wrote, "I hate Taylor Swift."
I saw
in
that.
His very famous
which
tweet.
If there was any part of me that would have entertained voting for Donald Trump, that part yeah. of me died when I saw that tweet because, as everyone knows, I unapologetically and unironically like Taylor Swift. So,
yeah, you're a Swiftie. Two more things. Timothy Chalamet is Bob Dylan.
John, I saw this yesterday. His Dylan's pretty good.
It's pretty
right?
good. It's,
yeah.
It is quite
His Dylan's
good.
Really good. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm also excited for the Timothy Chalamet biopic featuring Bob Dylan as Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, no, that would be very interesting.
I can't wait. Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Bob Dylan, Timothy Chalamet movie is Edward Norton's forehead because it's fucking huge. They don't know how a human skull works. And then one other thing, I haven't seen Megalopolis, but I've heard
no, nor have I.
It is just a fucking shit house, and I want to see it so bad. A movie that took 40 years to get made and is
Really?
Did you know there's a character, her name is Wow Platinum? Did you know that?
That's a great...
fucking good name, dude. The man made Godfather.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? So it'll be something like, again, I cannot stop thinking about the idea of Bob Dylan as Timothée Chalamet in a Timothée Chalamet biopic, because it would be something like, I'm the Quizzak Henrik. Hooray.
I would pay so much money to hear Bob Dylan say, I'm the Quizzak Henrik. Anyway. We're here to discuss our favorite media of the past, since the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
4 months.
Because we had a brat summer, so we need to talk about it.
We had a brat summer. No, I saw in the main feed that we were one show shy of 300, and I didn't want to leave it like hanging out there at 299. Sure. So, will this be the last one? Probably not. Might be.
Well, tonight we can dine in hell after finishing our 300th episode.
Okay, was that a joke? Oh, I see, 300.
No, it's not. I've been workshopping a Rip Torn impression. Would you like to hear it?
Oh my god, I would love to hear
it. Okay, let me, if I can get the phlegm, I need the, sucks. Yeah, no, it's not good. No, I need to, boy, I might do that again in post. That was bad.
Was that it? Just saying it's all it sucks? God.
It's a micro impression. It's from Men in Black. If you remember, okay. Near the end, he said something to Will Smith's character, something like sucks. Yeah, that's all I got. So.
That was okay. That one wasn't bad. I think he was in Freddy Got Fingered. Did you know that?
Yeah, I do know that.
He's Tom Green's dad in that.
Yeah,
the masterpiece. And again, my favorite story is he got so drunk he thought a bank was his house.
Yeah, we talked about this so much. You and I both really like Rip Torn. I
love Rip Torn. God bless him. All right, so let's get into it. We each brought three things to the table. I have no idea what your list is.
No.
I doubt they intersect.
If one of them intersects, this will be the weirdest thing that's ever happened in our lives.
I can't imagine it will. But no. why don't you go first, Colin?
Okay. This is great. So, John, this summer, and I thought about this a lot. Actually, this is something that I've thought about for 20 years, and I've wanted to talk to someone about it.
Oh, so, my God.
Are you familiar with the Flo Rida song, Get Low? Is it Get Low? Is that right?
Get low. That one?
Oh, it's just Low. It's just, okay, so...
Is that the Apple Bottom Jeans song?
That's the one. So the musical artist Florida released this song like 20 years ago called Low, okay? In it, he uses a simile to describe shouty. And this is what he says. So just for anyone who doesn't remember, the song ostensibly narrativizes a encounter at the club when the Flo Rida character meets for the first time Shouty. We don't know Shouty's name, but the song regales the audience with a series of increasingly provocative encounters between Flo Rida and Shouty. And then at one point he says, Shouty, she's hot like a toaster. Okay. Interesting simile. Okay. I thought about this for 20 years. Is it, John, because think about toasters. Because one of the things that I like so much about language is that it's the closest we get to actually doing magic. You can take ideas, you can use figurative devices, combine them, and create these beautiful transcendent ideas and concepts. But what is Flo Rida suggesting about shouty? Because toasters are not always hot. They're only hot when you use them.
Right.
So I've just thought for the better part of 20 years how deeply insulting this simile is to shouty. I wanted to talk about it. This is a very real thing. I know this sounds like a bit. This is something I've thought about for 20 years. How it seems like Flo Rida's trying to, you know, say something really complimentary about shouty, but in attempting to do so, he seems to just really insult shouty. And I don't know shouty, but it seems like she's nice enough. I don't see why she deserves something like that. Maybe it was unintentional, but you can tell me what you think.
Now let me ask, are you like trying to get like a tight five? Is that why you brought this whole
What's the deal with similes? No, this is not a tight five. No, this is okay. Just it's something I've genuinely
something
thought about.
Shouty. Colin, I don't have a clue. I do like the idea that she only warms up when she's being used, because I find that to be quite degrading, is what I'll say.
See, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah, that it's just not fair to
Maybe
shouting.
She's really good at making bagels.
That could be it.
She's hot like a toaster. He loves bagels. Maybe she's real dope at like boiling, because bagels are boiled dough. Maybe she boils good bagels.
Oh, I was thinking she would like heat the bagels somehow.
Well, you boil them, then you could toast. I don't know. Why did you bring? Yeah. What are you doing? Why did you bring this?
Where would she put the bagel for it to get hot?
Everyone wants to say. We want to say butt cheeks, underarms. That would work.
That's possible. I mean, because when she's in the throes of her increased temperature, she's very hot, but
she's getting low,
like a toaster.
Did you actually bring something to talk about?
Oh, I have several other things, but this was legitimately one of them. I wanted to talk about this. I've been thinking about this. I've been sitting on this for 20 years. I just haven't had a chance to talk about it.
It's great to be back.
This is not a joke. There are times when I'm driving.
Okay.
And I listen to this song because of this very thing. This has been in my head for 20 years.
It's like, have you seen that SNL short with Ryan Gosling when he's the only person that realizes that the Avatar logo is just papyrus?
Yeah, no, this is it's
that's stunning. Sort of what you have right now. You're
you're
sort of going crazy over this one thing. I don't think it means anything. I think he just wanted what's hot, and I'm sure he rhymes toaster in the next line or before the line.
Well,
I love you like a roller coaster. You're hot like a toaster.
Regrettably, he says he wants to fold her like a pornography poster.
That's not what he says. He says the word pornography?
I think he says, I want to fold you like a pornography poster. Go ahead and Google those lyrics. Go ahead and Google those lyrics.
Get low lyrics. This should be a good time, everybody.
Get low lyrics.
Back to the show.
Control F for the word poster, and you tell me I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't think
I am. This is... Oh, this is Lil Jon. This is wild. Because one of the lyrics in this is, well, this is till the sweat drips off my balls. Y'all skeet skeet, motherfuckers. Okay, it's just called low. It's not get low.
Yeah, it's just, sorry, yeah, no.
Now, here we go. Flo Rida, Apple Bottom Jean. Shawty. Who we've mentioned. In my head, I'm going to use a stand. Carol Burnett. She's Shawty.
Okay, that's good.
And Carol Burnett's Shawty, and the guy singing this song is Harvey Korman, because this is on the Carol Burnett show for some reason.
Sure. That makes sense.
Here we go. Okay. This is insane. Get me like a soldier, she ready for Rover. Was that like Red Rover, send...
Doggy style.
Flo Rida. Okay. Now, that's incredible. I don't know how I didn't pick up on that. I'm quite old. I got bifocals today. I couldn't control her.
This is why I have several English degrees, so I can decipher that.
So, lucky oh me, I was just a clover. That makes sense. Shawty was hot like a toaster.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I had to fold her like a pornography poster.
See?
That is so bad.
Yeah.
I don't get what...
Not the pinnacle of feminism that I thought it was, so...
That's quite bad. I'm the man, I invented rubber bands. Huh.
Huh.
He'd make a lot of money.
He's very... Yeah, no, this was a side hustle for him, so, yeah.
Now, this is a very dirty song, Colin.
Yes, it is.
You listen to this a lot? Them baggy sweatpants and the Reeboks with the straps.
Yep.
Now, that makes it more like Carol Burnett, because those are like old people's shoes, because they can't tie them, so they just Velcro them on. So Carol Burnett's just twerking really good. She turned around and gave that big booty a smack.
Yeah. It's a rich text. It's a
none
rich
of mine
text.
Are going to match the sort of complicated nature of Get Low.
I feel really good now. This is I finally had a chance to talk about this. This is nice.
Get Low is the till the sweat drips off my balls, which is sort of like a
we should create a word cloud for that song because I think the largest one would be the word balls.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, so my first thing is a movie I watched that I wanted to talk to you about called Cuckoo. Have you heard of this film?
No.
It's about a family. Dan Stevens is in it, who was the Beast in the live-action Beauty and the Beast. He was also in Downton Abbey. He fucking beefed it big time at the first season. Spoiler alert. Dan Stevens dies in the war. This is a movie about this family gets called. They go to a resort town in, I think, Switzerland. I don't know, Germany, one of those places. And there's this girl, and she's being chased by this unseen monster. And the unseen monster turns out to be the child of a woman and a big bird.
Okay.
And the big bird and the woman had a demonic bird lady monster, and she's trying to get this girl's sister to be the next bird lady monster. And that's the whole movie.
Interesting.
But I really liked it. It's filmed incredibly well. It's almost like a mumblecore style horror film. Like a lot of it is it just feels like it's taken from a indie sort of 90s. No, I would say like early 2000s indie film where there's like a lot of shots, like people driving and like just listening to music and, you know, you're just sort of taking in the atmosphere. But that's like interspliced with just pure insanity. This bird woman who is hunting people down. It's a really quite interesting film that has stuck with me. I saw it when it came out. No one else wanted to go with me. I can't imagine why. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's called Cuckoo. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Dan Stevens is phenomenally creepy in it. He is picking the best scripts in the universe to do. And I love him. So that's Cuckoo.
So you said it feels a bit like a mumblecore film, but if mumblecore was horror, could you comp it to anything? Is there like a horror film that it feels like?
Yeah, so like the Duplass brothers, they're very famous for making sort of like mumblecore style. Mm-hmm. They like invented this whole idea of just ad-libbing to the nth degree. But they Mark Duplass, who was in The League, which is a fantastic show, he made Creep, which I don't know if you've seen Creep. It's like a found footage film, and it's got the same vibe. It's like you're sort of just learning about this environment and studying these people, and it's interspliced with just horrifically scary things. And the Creep movies are fantastic. Creep 1 and Creep 2, if you haven't seen those, highly recommend them. But yeah, it's sort of like that. So like imagine like a Duplass Brothers movie mixed with like a Garden State. That's what the soundtrack's like. It's like got old indie rock sort of going on.
Yeah.
But then it's also got this like, you know, crazy bird monster. So it's sort of feeding off all these genres, I think, trying to get a wider audience. And I just really liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's something that I think about a lot because I don't watch a lot of horror films. Actually, Andrew would probably be better equipped to have this conversation. But I'm always curious about how horror, at least the aesthetics of horror, try to reinvent itself. Because you can only do, like, the slasher aesthetic so many times. You can only, when you and I first became friends, I think body horror was an incredibly popular movement in the horror genre. I think would you say primarily popularized by the Saw films?
Yeah, I mean, this like that era of horror is my least favorite. It's like the most like nihilistically mean era. So it's like era, excuse me. So it's like very it's incredibly gory and grotesque, but not like in a fun way, if that makes sense. Like if you think about like Sam Raimi's Evil Dead movies, like those are really fun, gory movies. That's everything just silly and slapsticky. And so you don't get caught in like the emotions of how nasty this is. Yeah. But Saw really turned everything on its head. Saw and like Hostel and and other movies along those lines. But yeah, for sure. That was the most popular when we first started talking.
And like found footage, I think. Maybe that had already waned in popularity from
Had, but it was on its way back for fucking sure. Like Paranormal Activity was coming and a lot of stuff. And Creep is a found footage movie, but it's almost like it's like a deep character study. It's weird. It's very interesting. And
I like that.
That's what this is. I loved it. It's like a mixture of multiple genres. It's like a black comedy at times. It's really good.
Could I watch it?
I mean, you could watch it.
Yeah. Like, because you would never recommend like Saw 4 to me, you know?
No. Yeah.
Like,
you could absolutely watch it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, I might give it a go. Speaking of, here's something that I have discovered that I like. I like movies that are not horror movies, but at times they like to flirt with the aesthetics of horror. And so,
love that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do too, because I think a lot of movies actually do this in ways that maybe audiences don't account for. So, again, if we're thinking about like our Brat summer, a really cool thing that happened to me this summer was I mentioned this on the podcast before. I created this film class. It finally made this year. So I'm teaching a film class. The second movie that we watched and discussed was Black Swan.
Ooh.
Totally feels like a horror film at times.
I would say it is a horror movie.
Would you call it a horror film? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there are parts in that movie that even I can't watch. And I can watch some fucked up stuff. The fingernail scene in particular.
That's rough.
Can't do it. That's a hard one.
I had some visceral reactions to that sequence in class. But yeah, I think this is my second thing that I want to discuss. Black Swan, I think 2011, starring Natalie Portman. I want to say she probably won an Oscar for this movie. Directed by, I always forget his name. He directed
Darren Aronofsky,
Mother. Yeah. This movie is not just, I think, enjoyable to watch. It's such a fun movie to teach, because whatever you think about Aronofsky as a person, it's just a perfect film class film, because there are so many things to talk about. But this is not, like, you and I both have watched a lot of movies that it feels like the cinematography wants to communicate to you, like, look at us making choices with the camera, and the camera is just doing so bombastic. Black Swan is a really subtle movie, but it's a blast to talk about because Aronofsky makes so many interesting choices. Thematically, it is incredibly thought-provoking, and yeah, Natalie Portman's just really, really good. Like, before the semester started, I was reviewing the list of movies that I wanted us to watch, and I was unsure about a couple of them, but that's the one that I wasn't unsure about. And yeah, it was great. And just if you haven't watched Black Swan, or if it's been a minute since, you know, that movie was released over a decade ago, revisit Black Swan. It is phenomenal. It's so cool. I loved it so much.
Yeah, it's got parts of it based on an old anime film called Perfect Blue.
That's what I've heard,
Which is also, like, from what I gather, was really influenced by Lynchian stuff, because it also deals with the idea of doppelgangers, which was sort of what Black Swan does. But Black Swan's more of, like, a woman slowly... To me, it's always been, like, a woman slowly just delving into madness while also making sort of a commentary on what you will give for art how I felt about Black Swan. The final scene is really good. It's got a sort of an ambiguous ending. And
it does a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great movie. I watched it in the theater when it came out. I think I was the only person in the theater, and it scared the shit out of me. Yeah. Absolutely scared me a lot.
You're totally right, and that's one of the things we talked about were these distinct Lynchian elements to the movie, because, I mean, yeah, like the doppelganger stuff is so forward from the very beginning. It's not sonically weird like Lynch films are, right. But it's if you like David Lynch and you haven't watched Black Swan, you can kind of see it as maybe a cousin to the stuff he does. It's good. It's really good. Cool. I like it.
I think it would work as a really good like double feature with like Mulholland Drive is where I would put Black Swan.
Holy shit, that would be awesome. Oh my god, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Watch those two together? Oh, I like that. That's good.
So my second thing is a show I just watched the first season of. It's 8 episodes. It's from Australia. G'day, Colin. How you doing, mate? Wallaby. I don't know. And
better than my Rip Torn, I'll say that much. Yeah.
I don't think so. Your Rip Torn was...
You're being kind. Thank you.
It's called Deadlock, but it's spelled L-O-C-H, because it takes place on near a town called Deadlock,
where
a big lake. That's what a lock is. And it's Australian. It's a police procedural, but imagine like a police procedural mixed with like the bombastic comedy of like Arrested Development. Imagine if Arrested Development and a crime procedural had a child, and that's what this is. It is extraordinarily funny. I laughed till I cried almost every episode. The cast is really good. The storytelling is so great. It mixes really great comedic timing with really dark things, so that anytime stuff gets too heavy, it automatically is there to pull you out of it. It's got a great crime story. Like, you're guessing the whole way who is doing X, who is doing Y, and it's just a really great time. It's on Amazon. I think there are 8 episodes, and we watched them in 2 days. We just, like, devoured this fucking show.
Oh my God.
It's a long time since I've done that. And the second season got greenlit. It's really good. If you're a fan of... I like true crime-style procedural stuff, but I like stuff that's funny way more, and so that is what this is like. Again, it's like if the last... It's like if they did the Buster Death of Lucille, but like way better. That's what Deadlock is like.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way. I watch more movies than TV.
Same.
Yeah. I certainly read more than I watch movies. I think we've talked about this on the show, like my hierarchy of, but I see, I know that's what I see. I mean, it sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm not, that's not my point. I find, yeah, I feel like I'm searching for that good fourth season of Arrested Development, which is one of the reasons why I'm just really bored with, it's a weird thing to say, but I feel bored with TV most of the time. The last thing that I watched that I really liked, funnily enough, was WandaVision. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was spectacular.
That's been a while. Yeah, Disney's missed a lot. We have tried to start... I think I've tried to start... Oh, the Andor show is fucking dope. I should have put that on my list. That's a fucking awesome show.
Okay.
Because it's so far from Star Wars that you could possibly get. It's like dealing with, you know, classism and elitism, and it's just really fucking good.
Oh, interesting.
But we tried to watch Ahsoka, and it was embarrassing. I had to turn. I was so sad. We didn't watch any Marvel shows. I haven't seen anything except WandaVision is the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really liked WandaVision. It was great.
Yeah, me too. Oh well, I say that over the summer I watched The Acolyte, and it was fine. I told you this. It was fine. Like, it wasn't. I know, like, people on the internet.
I think a lot
of
people would disagree with you on that.
People on the internet are so weird. I remember watching it and just
no.
Thinking, this is just like you and I had this same conversation about one of these recent like Brie Larson Captain Marvel movies where I said this movie is just fine.
It's fine.
Like, I don't. It's just fine. Like, it's not transcending the genre or anything, but I don't. I'm so confused. Okay, this is good. Something, what did you say it was? Deadlock?
Deadlock. Highly Deadlock. Recommend. 10 out of 10 for me in my John Reviews Things book that I have never written. But if I was, it would
be. You should
be
write that book. Yeah. Start a blog. Oh, start a Substack.
Now, what's that?
Substack?
Yeah.
It's like a blog where you pay.
Oh, you pay to for me to write things?
No, people would like, I think you can do like a subscription thing where people like pay to read your shit. Or you can do it for free, I think. I'm not sure.
Now, I sort of want to do that. I've been wanting to write stuff lately.
Yeah.
If you would like to hear me write a movie blog,
I would read your movie blog. See, that's one. So you have
it's $25 a week. I'm just kidding. It's not. It's going to be free, probably.
Okay, I'm trying to think. If we wanted to do four, do you think you have four? Because I have two things.
I could come up with anything. Yeah.
Okay. So, I watched this movie over the weekend. 2023 film. Sometimes I Think About Dying, starring Daisy Ridley. This movie's fantastic. John, you'll love this. 93 minutes.
See, I do love that.
See, I knew you would like this, right?
I do love that.
John, it's this small, little, intimate movie, I think set in the Pacific Northwest. Daisy Ridley's character, she basically just does like Excel spreadsheet work for this, like, I think shipping and receiving company, really small company. The movie at times feels really claustrophobic with the different sets. But John, there are these, like, the filmmakers juxtapose those moments with these beautiful, beautiful wide shots of the Pacific Northwest. It is, and she's really subtle. Like, I'm not joking. She doesn't say anything for the first 25 minutes of the movie, I think.
What's it about?
It's about her and how socially awkward she is and how she meets this new hire and the two of them become friends. And it's a movie about her becoming less socially awkward. It's just this really small, intimate character movie with at times some really gorgeous cinematography. It's called Sometimes I Think About Dying. I really like it a lot.
And now she was in Star Wars.
She was, yeah.
She was Rey Skywalker.
Rey Skywalker is what I hear, so yeah.
She changed her last name.
As one does.
She had a yellow lightsaber at the end of the third one.
Oh, okay. No lightsabers
in
this movie.
The old lady said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Rey Skywalker." And the old lady went, "That's a pretty big fucking coincidence." No, I will watch that. I want her to get more work. I've seen her in, she was in Murder on the Orient Express, the Kenneth Branagh Poirot adaptation. She was phenomenal in that. So,
yeah, it kind of reminds me of,
she deserves,
like,
more work. Don't shit on people that are in Star Wars.
Okay? Well, it's funny because it reminds me of some of the idiosyncratic work that people like Kristen Stewart and who was her co-star in Twilight? Robert Pattinson, is that right? I'm not joking. I needed a second for his
you
name.
You didn't know who Robert Pattinson
no,
was?
No, I just needed a second for
he's
his name.
He's the shiny vampire man. Yes, he's Edward Cullen.
It just reminds me of some of the work they've done post-Twilight. Like, we got our nut doing Twilight, and so now let's just do weird shit.
Yeah, she's doing some wild shit. I mean, he's done, like, the Batman. But she's done, like, she's done some cool shit.
Phenomenal. Hicks and I talk about this all the time. She's my favorite actor. Love Lies Bleeding, I watched that this summer.
Let's, now, for a second.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie. Okay. I did watch the end where they kill Ed Harris. I just want to make sure I'm saying this correctly.
You saw
her
it.
Girlfriend becomes a giant.
Correct.
She just morphs into a big giant, a la like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or old Gundam shit. She just becomes a big giant and kills. Yep. Okay.
And kills Ed Harris.
I did not. Yeah. I did not. Okay, cool. All right.
It was a surprise when I saw it, too.
All right, well, my third thing is a movie and it's starring one of the best actors in the history of film. It's called Long Legs. Have you heard of this movie?
No, I haven't.
It's directed by Osgood Perkins, who is the son of Anthony Perkins, who you might know as Norman Bates from Psycho.
Oh, his son, Nick Cage is in Perkins. This! Oh.
Nicholas Coppola Cage. Nicholas Kal-El Coppola Cage.
John, is he good or bad in this?
He is turned up to 11 in the best ways imaginable. This is one of the wildest fucking movies. If you like Silence of the Lambs, which I know you do.
I do.
Imagine Silence of the Lambs. Add a little bit of like demonic sort of holy terror stuff in it. And then put Nick Cage in as Buffalo Bill. And you have it. It is truly one of the creepier films that I have ever witnessed. It's a lot of fun. It's fucking wild. Nick Cage steals it. He's so good. I'm saddened he will not get nominated for an Oscar. He really should. He's wild. They purposely not reveal his face for like a good half of the movie. When they do reveal it, he's fucking insane. They put prosthetics on him. And they made his fingers longer, so he looks so weird and insane. But they asked him, like, who'd you base your performance on? And he said, my mom. And I thought, Nick Cage and I have a lot in common. Yeah. That's what's happened. It's a crazy movie. It's got really a lot like Silence of the Lambs. Not a lot of jump scares, really quiet horror stuff going on.
Good. Yeah.
A couple, maybe once, really violent moment. For the most part, though, it's like more crime procedural stuff. And the main character played by, I can't pronounce her first name, Maika, I think, Monroe. She's really quite wonderful. And she is channeling Clarice, but maybe on the spectrum, sort of how she's playing the character. Like she's a little neurodivergent, and it's quite good. Long legs. I recommend it. 10 out of 10.
So the Nick Cage character has one line of dialogue that he just repeats, which is, why don't you love me as much as I love you?
Pretty much. No, he... His character... This is true. His character is he was in a glam rock band, and he decided that wasn't working out for him, so he started a... He became a devil worshiper. He started convincing people to join his devil cult. So throughout the movie, he like sings, like the band T-Rex. He like sings their songs at like full volume. He screams them.
Does he really?
Yeah, he just goes nuts. It's insane. And at one point, he like looks directly. He breaks the fourth wall. He looks right at the camera and he says, "Hail Satan!" And he blows the camera a kiss. It's the dopest shit I have ever seen. Really.
I really do think you and I could probably Mad Lib a wonderful Nick Cage movie if we just did. Yeah, yeah.
I love Nick Cage. I genuinely love Nick Cage. I think Nick Cage
is
one of those...
I do too, yeah.
He's an actor that nothing's beneath him. I love that. I love that he's like, I can do this one for me. I can do this one to make some cash. It's a quick shoot. I can do this studio picture. And it's like what he chooses from. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
If I had that ability to like show up on set and work for a month and get a good paycheck, why not?
Yeah, no, I think that's because like Nick Cage is he is a talented performer. And you're right. Well, it just reminds me of like Santa Claus from I Think You Should Leave, where it's now I'm at this contract and so now I'm here. And you would expect someone with Nick Cage's pedigree to probably perceive a lot of movies beneath him. But no, I think you're right. Like he's a fucking Coppola. Yeah. Who, I mean, I know probably in some cases he does some of these movies for like tax reasons.
Yeah, so, he needs money.
But no, I just like he just even in a movie where you would think you could just like fucking like mail this in and we'll just put Nick Cage's name on the box and it's fine. He doesn't. And that's what I think is interesting is that even in movies where it feels like he's mailing in a performance, he doesn't actually mail in a performance. Like everything about this movie is like, okay, this is Nick Cage getting a paycheck, but I don't know. It just seems like he's always thinking, well, yeah, I'm getting a paycheck, but I'm a professional actor here, people. So I need to probably do actor things.
Yeah. He's great. Did you know that his uncle Francis Ford Coppola made Megalopolis?
I've heard about this.
Adam Driver. In what I assume is a movie that should have been made by Tommy Wiseau, from what I've heard about. Did you know there's a part in the movie where he talks to the audience? And they had, in big cities, they paid someone to go in and talk to the screen. Like, they gave them a line of dialogue to talk to Adam Driver.
Huh. I wonder if that person has an IMDb page now.
How embarrassing. His name is Carl. Carl. Strange man in theater. All right, what's your fourth one?
Okay, I don't think we talked about this on the podcast. It's something I watched over the summer. It's a comedy called 7 Days in Hell. Have we spoken about this?
No. What is this? Does it have Joe Pesci?
No, John. This movie is stunning. So, Andy Sandberg, Kit Harington. It is a tennis mockumentary where they play a seven-day tennis match.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this.
John, this is a spectacularly funny movie. I have never laughed so hard. I have always been a bit ambivalent about Andy Sandberg. After watching this, I just, everything the man does is spectacular. He's so goddamn funny in this movie. It's, John, he is a, like, John McEnroe figure who I think retires at one point, but then decides to have this like spectacular career revival or whatever. And Kit Harington. So Kit Harington, when I think of Kit Harington, I think of like Dower, Jon Snow, Coleman, you know, John, he's been groomed from childhood to be a tennis prodigy. He has no formal education to speak of. Someone, if I remember correctly, before the movie begins, taught him the word indubitably. So he uses this word.
That's amazing.
Nearly every scene. This movie is so fucking funny. Everyone needs to watch this movie. If you haven't
watched
it. I really
have to watch this now, yeah.
7 Days in Hell. You will love this movie. It is genuinely spectacular. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So it's like, let's satire those 30 for 30 documentaries. That's what it feels like.
Sandberg had to have wrote it or directed or something, right?
He was involved. Oh, one other thing. He was adopted by Venus and Serena Williams' father, which in the movie, Serena Williams describes it as a, quote, reverse blindside.
That's so good. That's awesome.
7 Days in Hell.
It's wonderful. On HBO. It's a Max, right? It's a Max
Correctamundo. Yeah, it's on HBO.
Yeah, okay. I need to watch this.
John, please.
All right, cool. All right, so my final one is a short little horror movie. I think it's like 93 minutes, which is, again, the most perfect.
It's perfect.
It's the most perfect. Don't make these fucking long. Nobody has time anymore.
I don't want a 4-hour Dune, okay? Like,
no, I do. Those movies rule. I don't care.
They actually
Denis
do.
Villeneuve, give me that shit.
I take that back. Those are beautiful movies.
This is a Scottish horror film. It's called Oddity, is what it's called. It's a very small, quiet movie. Let me tell you the opening and see if it hooks you. A woman is renovating this huge, massive house she's bought.
Cool.
And she goes outside to look for her phone. She can't find her phone. When she comes back in, she closes the door and locks it, and someone bangs on the door. It's late at night. There are no lights, no electricity in the house, and all that she has is a tent with a light on that she's sleeping in. And she opens the little peephole to talk to the guy, and the guy's like, "You have to let me in. Someone just came in your house while you were out here." And she goes, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "I don't really want to explain why I'm here watching you, but I was watching you. I saw you go to your car. Someone ran in. You're not alone in your house right now." And then it cuts to black as she like goes to the door handle. So you don't know what happened. So then it shoots to a year after that. And you're trying to piece together all these things that happened to this woman. It's phenomenal.
Oh my goodness. What a premise.
It's a really good opening. And her sister's blind. And her sister goes to her late sister's house, and she has this big trunk, and the ex-husband's like, "Why did you bring this big trunk?" And she's like, "It's a gift for you." And so the trunk opens, and inside the trunk is like this life-size statue, or life-size like mannequin almost, made of wood.
Yeah, I can see that. Like that.
She sits it on the table. She sits it like at the dining room table. And so throughout the movie, like, they'll be having like these, like, you know, very close conversations, but in the background, you always see this fucking grotesque mannequin sitting there. It's just terrifying. And so it's like really like you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole movie. Very Hitchcockian, super Hitchcockian.
Okay, cool.
I loved it. It's so good. Oddity. Really creepy. Can't recommend it enough.
I like this a lot. So the main actor, it's not the actor who plays Brienne of Tarth, even though a lot of the promotional images, it looks just like her.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not Brienne of Tarth.
Okay.
Brienne of Tarth is a giant, magnificent woman.
She's actually she's very large. Cool. John, I think this is great because it's October, as you would say. It's the spooky season, and I think you've given people a lot of October
viewing
options.
Yeah, I'm all about, all I watch now is horror movies. I did watch Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah?
And it was great. I had a big goofy smile on my face the whole time. You can't get any better than that. I loved it.
Yeah. We talked about it on the cluttered desk. I think we liked it. I think we came to like it after talking about it. So
did you watch Furiosa?
No. You see, I haven't watched a lot of these newer Mad Max movies. I need to do that.
You should watch. They're quite good. George Miller is a madman. I can't believe he gets to make the things that he gets to make. It's really phenomenal. I'm just trying to like right now. Especially where we live, things are bad. I mean, luckily we're okay. But a mile from me is Damascus, which if you haven't heard, Damascus got like obliterated. It just got almost wiped off the map by the hurricane. So it's close to home, you know. The last 2 weeks I worked 13 days straight because power things, and it was a lot, you know. And so it all sucks right now. We're an hour from Asheville, and I'm trying to find anything to sort of occupy my time so I don't let the voices win. So thank you for telling me about these movies. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to mention this. I'll put some links in the show notes. Yeah. John's right. So I think we mentioned this before. We live in the American South. We live in the Appalachian region, not Appalachian. If you say Appalachian, I want to throw a banjo at you.
You're the worst. Don't do that.
Yeah. So, but if you feel compelled after not, for example, if you were a patron and you feel compelled after not giving us some money over the summer to donate to any organizations, I'll put links in the show notes. And I meant to mention this at the beginning, but yeah, a lot of places, especially Asheville, North Carolina, people still need a lot of help, the surrounding areas. So yeah, I'll put some links in the show notes, maybe some orgs that you could donate to if you haven't already, because I know like the United States is a big country and not all of our listeners are in the United States. You may have no idea that this even happened. And so, yeah, if you want to donate, I'll have some links in the show notes and you can contact us. I'm happy to provide other resources. So,
yeah. So it's been a dour time. Luckily this goddamn election is almost here. And so I can figure out if I'm going to be real sad for 4 years or just kind of sad for 4 years. So that's where we're at.
Well, I think that's a fine place to leave it, John. I don't know when we'll be back again, but this was fun. Thanks for talking to me.
It was lovely. It was lovely to see you, old friend. I had a whole musical bit planned, but I'm just too drunk to do it now. It is what it is.
If you sober up, record it, and we'll find a way to incorporate it. So
thank you all for listening. For the Hot Bombs Podcast, it's me, Johnny P.
Colin Cox. See you, buddy.
Fold me like a pornography poster, Colin.
Yeah, yeah. As one does with shouting. You're a fire, it's the end of me. And we're on fire when the planet